Brilliance Audio presents A Big Little Life, a memoir of a joyful dog named Trixie, by Dean Koontz. Performed by the author.
Trixie, a 3-year-old golden retriever of singular beauty and splendid form, adopted the previous September, is in her 4th month with my wife, Gerda, and me. She is joyful, affectionate, comical, intelligent, remarkably well-behaved. Already and unexpectedly, she has changed me as a person and as a writer. I am only beginning to understand the nature of those changes and where they will lead me. January 1999. Our first house in Newport Beach, in the neighborhood known as Harbor Ridge, had an exceptionally long upstairs hallway. Because this hall was carpeted and thus provided good traction for paws, I often played there with Trixie on days when the weather turned foul. Initially, I tossed a ball, and sometimes a Kong toy, down the hall. One evening, the rubber Kong bounced wildly and smashed into a small oil painting, splitting the canvas. The painting was very old, and it was one of Gerda's favorites. When she noticed the damage a few days later, I fessed up at once. The dog did it. "Even standing on her hind feet," Gerda said, "the dog isn't tall enough to do it." Confident that my logic was unassailable, I said the dog was here in the hall when the damage occurred. The Kong toy was here. The Kong belongs to the dog. The dog wanted to play. If the dog wasn't so cute, I wouldn't have wanted to play with her. Hall, dog, Kong, cute, play. The damage to the painting was inevitable. "So you're saying the dog is responsible because she's cute?" I refused to allow my well-reasoned position to be nitpicked. I resorted to my backup explanation. "Besides, maybe she isn't tall enough, but she knows where we keep the step stool." So because the dog had damaged the painting, in subsequent play sessions in the hall, we could not use the rubber Kong. Furthermore, I would not throw the tennis ball anymore, but would only roll it. I explained the new rules to Trixie, whose expression was somber. "This is a valuable teaching moment," I concluded. "You see, I'm sure that if you had gone to your mother immediately after you damaged the painting and had taken responsibility, you would not now have this blemish on your reputation." Following the new rules, I always released the tennis ball with a snap of the wrist that gave it the velocity to roll the length of the hall. After 20 minutes of play, Trixie's flanks heaved. Lying on the floor, on our sides, facing each other, Trixie panted, and I stroked her luxurious golden coat. From the week she came into our lives, Trixie and I had spent some time, most days, lying on the floor together. I found it relaxing, for the obvious reason that a cuddle with a loving dog is always calming. I also found it strange, because she would stare into my eyes as long as I wanted to meet hers, 10 minutes, 20, 30, and she would rarely be the first to look away. These sessions were meditation, but also communication. Though I can't explain what she communicated other than love, I can say that I frequently saw in her eyes a yearning to make herself understood in a complex way that only speech could facilitate. Staring into Trixie's eyes, I was sometimes silent, but at other times talked to her about my day, my problems, whatever came into my head. Those who love dogs know well this kind of rap. Dogs swim through a sea of human speech, listening attentively for words they recognize, patiently striving to interpret what we say, although most of it is, and always will be, incomprehensible to them. No human being would have such patience. Counting the many commands she had been taught when in training to be an assistance dog, and all that she had learned on her own, cookie, chicken, walk, duck, step stool, oil, painting, restoration, electromagnetism, her vocabulary was at least 100 words. It would more than double over the years. This got me to thinking. The recognition that words have meaning, the desire to remember them, the intention to act on those that are understood, does all of this lead to the conclusion that the dog also yearns to speak?